I got about 14 minutes in me this morning. So if y'all pray with me, we can do it in 13 minutes and 57 seconds. Just want to reiterate a few of the passages that Sister Pam shared in your hearing. This is the prophet Jeremiah talking, prophet Jeremiah giving the message that God is giving him to share with the people of Israel. What wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? Did they not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in the land of the drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more, I accuse you, says the Lord. I accuse your children's children. Coming down to verse 13, for my people have committed two evils, says the Lord. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that hold no water. I'd like to preach just for a few moments how to overcome spiritual dehydration. How to overcome spiritual dehydration. Say with me, please, possibilities are fertile. When you're hydrated by the living water. How to overcome spiritual dehydration. We need water to live. Water is the sustenance of physical life. Truth is, we can live longer without food than we can live without water. Regular hydration of ourselves reproduces, and hydration is essential for our system's circulation in our cells. Reproductivity, just as water is critical for maintaining physical life, so is renewing, refreshing water of the Spirit of God needed for our spirit life. Just as a person will experience physical dehydration without a regular intake of water, a believer will become spiritually dehydrated without a deepened spiritual development by regular participation in scripture study, personal prayer, and corporate worship. Y'all with me? There's a sad truth, family, that some of us spiritually are spiritually dehydrated and we don't even know it. Did you hear what I said? Some of us in the house are suffering from spiritual dryness. Y'all hear me? Check this. When a person is physically dehydrated, there is a reduced volume of blood flow in our body. A reduced volume of blood limits our ability to wash out unwanted, unnecessary, harmful chemicals that have accumulated in our bodies. If this continues long enough, if we go without water long enough, a person will physically die. Spiritual dehydration is a declined presence of the power of the Spirit of God in us. When a believer lacks activity of the Holy Spirit, when God's anointing is absent, inactivity in the believer, it limits our ability to rid the unwanted sin in our behaving. Did you hear what I just said? If this persists, if spiritual dehydration persists, the believer will have a disconnect from the will and the wisdom of God, and the believer's spiritual circulatory system will begin to shut down. And guess what? The believer will die spiritually. Weakness in our righteousness leads to spiritual death. Dryness in our divinity leads to spiritual death. Vulnerability leads to believers being victimized by you know who. If you come to Bible study, you would know Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is contrary to the flesh. And Romans 8:5-8 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. This happens as a result of spiritual dehydration. You see, this is why we must be refreshed by the living water. God's grace, family, is compared to water. It being a cooling and refreshing and cleansing power grace has. Living water makes alive the spiritually dead. The living water revives drooping, dehydrated saints. He supports and maintains spiritual life by being spiritually hydrated and gives eternal life, the spirit I'm talking about. In our text, Israel became spiritually dehydrated by choosing relations, choosing connections apart from God. They have forgotten that it was God that delivered them, and the prophet asked them to remember, to take account for what God had done for them. God, the God who delivered them from slavery in Egypt. Israel had forgotten that while in the wilderness, it was God who refreshed them with water from rocks and manna, fresh bread made in God's own oven in heaven. Israel somehow overlooked the fact that God blessed the people with fertile land in Canaan. Israel had a bad case of amnesia, y'all, about the Lord fighting and defending them against enemies. And instead of desiring Jehovah, Israel had become rebellious and began thirsting for other gods. Israel sought other pursuits because in their minds, Jehovah wasn't answering their prayer requests as Jehovah used to. Jehovah wasn't answering and seeing about their needs as fast or enough or as often as they wanted. Israel became spoiled. You know how we do. God had been our source and the strength of our life. But somehow along the way, we shifted and sought the God of progress, the God of prosperity and position. Something happened. We gave up. Some of us have given up and pushed to the side the God of the universe. And we began seeking the God of personal recognition, the God of prestige, the God of power. And after Israel experienced blessings and success from God, the people develop convenient amnesia. Sometimes we forget what God has done for us. Forgot that God was the way out of no way. Amnesia, the people got. Amnesia to Jehovah God, who had been their rock in a weary land, their shelter in a time of a storm. Israel became oblivious to the fact that it was God who supplied their every need. Like us. Like us. Like us, Israel substituted a God who gives goodies instead of the God of grace. They switched to a God that satisfies instead of sticking with the God that's sanctified. I wish somebody hear me this morning. A relationship with God does not work that way. We can't just shift and switch gods, change up on gods anytime we want. Christians can't just switch and swap and change up. We can't draft another God. We cannot negotiate and exchange the God of the universe for another God. We cannot. We cannot casually flow from one God to another to suit ourselves, to suit our needs, to suit our situations. We can't do that. But we do. If we're honest with ourselves this morning, family, most of us, if not all of us, have stepped out. Y'all know what that means, right? We have stepped out attempting to find a God that will do what we want done. And family, if you know, like I know, when it comes to the almighty, genuine God, the authentic God, it's like the secular prophet Marvin Gaye used to say, ain't nothing like the real thing. Do I have a witness? Bible tells us that we ought not to seek any other God. The Bible is clear that God is able to do exceeding and abundant above all we could think or ask. Do I have a witness? The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You see, this Christian enterprise is not a game. Did you hear what I said? It's not a game. Sunday is not game time. Sunday is not a time to come out and flash our Christian card and to act sassified. It's not a game that when it doesn't work, or when we're not winning or advancing or getting what we want, that we go find another God. God is not a God to be played with. Did you hear what I said? God says that I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, my praise to idols. See this in the text, if you were to look at it. Our text tells us that Israel committed a double crime, a double foul, a double evil, a double move. See this in the text. They committed a double crime. Number one, they denied the God who had been their source of strength, their source of spiritual hydration. Israel had denied the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was crime number one. Crime number two, the metaphor used to describe Israel's, that Israel tries to fill their faith is broken cisterns. Broken cisterns, containers, tanks, buckets. They were attempting to carry blessings. See the metaphor. See the imagery. Israel was attempting to carry blessings in buckets that had holes in them. They try to carry their blessings. What somebody say, like a penny with a hole in it? Ain't no more good. It's okay, sis. Thank you. They were trying to get blessings in broken cisterns, leaky buckets, cracked tanks that sit on the ground. And they can't hold water. You know how we say somebody makes a statement? Say, man, that statement can't hold water. It carries no weight. It has no significance. It does nothing. Israel trusted in wishful thinking, empty promises, half hopes. Nothing is guaranteed in this world, family. Nothing is guaranteed. Contracts are made and contracts are broken. We used to say rules are like records. They are made to be broken. Covenants are broken. Pledges and treaties are signed and broken before the ink is dry. These contracts are null and void before the email is sent. I do becomes an annulment before they finish the wedding party. Promotions become demotions in a day. Being hired and being fired are spoken in the same breath. But you can count on God to be consistent. Do I have a witness? God is not human that he should lie. God is not a man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. Do I have a witness? Who in their right mind, family, after finding God to be trustworthy, finding God to be faithful, would prefer broken bucket blessings? Who would prefer blessings running out and running over before they get a chance to use them? Who would accept a broke down bag, a bucket that leaks? Who would accept joy for a moment after having experienced joy unspeakable? Who would prefer to feel good versus to be refreshed? Who would rather have a feel-good experience as opposed to being restored? I wish I had a prayer in church this morning. Who would prefer to feel good as opposed to being renewed? Who would prefer feeling satisfied as opposed to being regenerated? Some of us, like Israel, we've taken after other gods. The Lord says, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being, from inside, will flow rivers of water. We spend all this time waiting on the Lord to send down, when it's already in us and God is waiting for the blessing to well up and overflow out of us. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. The physical water. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of waters. I'm going to shut down. I told you 14 minutes. I don't have my watch on. But my message to you is to avoid becoming spiritually dehydrated by trusting in the Lord. The Lord says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost beings will flow rivers of water. Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree for healing of the nations. I will pour out my water on this thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. I'm going to close with this. Dr. Howard Thurman said that there are three kinds of Christians: a canal, a reservoir, or a swamp. A canal, a reservoir, or a swamp. See, a canal is moving water. And a canal connects smaller bodies of water to larger bodies of water, because the water is fresh and it's moving, and it's moving and going in different directions. You have a reservoir which wells up, springs out, and overflows. And if you stand underneath of the reservoir, you'll be refreshed. But then you have the swamp. On the surface, everything looks alive, vivacious, growing. But underneath, it's dead, because it's not connected to anything. A swamp just floats along, goes along to get along, goes along to move on. So I ask a question that I hope will keep you up till 3 or 4 o'clock this morning. Are you a canal, a reservoir, or a swamp? Can we stand on our feet all over the church? Take on an attitude of prayer. God, we're grateful that you are